Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to another edition of Get Ready with Betty, the radio show that helps you simplify and improve your life by getting things in order physically, psychologically, and spiritually. I'm Sharon McGrill, your host and the owner of the Betty Brigade, an Ann Arbor, Michigan-based company specializing in relocation, organizing, and staging. Our guest today is a flippin' delight. She is awesome. She's a good friend of mine, and her name is Tina Dietz. She has been on the show before, so if you are curious, go back and listen to the time she was on with us before. But I'm going to tell you about what she's talking about today. She is coming to unleash the voice of your business. Imagine that. I didn't know. I guess my business does have a voice other than mine. So she is an internationally acclaimed business coach, dedicated audiobook producer, popular podcast host, launch specialist, and best-selling author. And Tina brings a passionate vision, perspective, and attention to detail for her clients. Tina's company, Start Something Creative Business Solutions, helps clients who want more than just a business. They want a business oasis. So that makes me think like business at the oasis. Remember that song? Okay, I'm going to stop singing now. So Tina divides her time between Costa Rica and the U.S. and has been featured in outlets like ABC, Forbes.com, Inc.com, and in national trade magazines, and she is also all over the radio dial. So welcome, Tina.
Hey, welcome to the Oasis. Yeah.
I'm right there totally with shocked you. That you weren't I'm shocked that you weren't laughing when I was singing, but
I was muted, so we were okay. So yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well, so you guys are in for a treat today. You are gonna learn about upping your business profile. And I'm sure that I will be learning too. But we're going to be talking about leveraging your talent and your hard work to increase your income, your influence, and your audience. So I'm excited. I wanted to share a few things with our listeners so they can contact, you can find out more about Tina at her website, which is startsomethingcreativebizsolutions.com. Or you can find her on LinkedIn, which is Tina Dietz. So you can just search on her name, Tina Dietz, or on Facebook. She has her business page, which is the Start Something Movement on Facebook. On Twitter, she is the Superstarter. And I think that that's plenty of ways for us to contact Tina, because I'm not giving away her private cell phone.
Well, we could try passenger pigeon or, you know, smoke signals or anything like that. That could work too.
I am really bad with smoke signals. Like, they just get
it
all
takes
confused.
Practice. I know. Yeah, it takes practice. Well, yeah, because you could send a message and you're thinking, you know, honey, bring home chicken. And he goes, oh, you're leaving me? You know, no, it's a difficult language to learn. Yeah.
Okay, so enough about smoke signals. We are not talking about smoke signals today. I can't even say it. So, but let's talk about lifestyle. So you have like this kooky, crazy lifestyle. You travel all over the world. You spend half your time in the U.S. and half your time in Costa Rica, and you have a family. Like it's not like it's just you, your husband, and you have two kids. And you have this international business, and so you've been living all over the place. And talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's funny because I have this odd combination of wanderlust and wanting to go places, but also having this deep need for home. You know, for my astrological friends out there, they'll appreciate that I'm a Taurus with a Leo rising, so that explains a lot. So I don't tend to visit places; I tend to move there. And just create homes wherever I go.
And I keep trying to lure you to Ann Arbor, Michigan, so that we can hang out face to face.
I love Ann Arbor. It's such a cool town. It is so cool there. I really love the vibe there. And well, you had me at fairy doors. You know, Ann Arbor has the fairy doors, and that's doesn't take much.
And
I was like, yay.
And the gum wall. I showed you the gum
and the
wall.
The gum wall. A little less impressed by the gum wall, but you know, nonetheless, is a cool.
Yes. So just for
but,
you
yeah.
listeners who don't know, there's actually a wall in Ann Arbor that is covered in chewing gum that is little known except by people who live here. And it's pretty much worth seeing because it's kind of weird and disgusting and fun. So enough about the gum wall.
It is fascinating. It definitely is. Not quite as
why
fascinating
Costa Rica?
As Costa Rica, yeah. Well, it was an interesting story. I'll try to narrow it down into a couple of highlights. But one of the things I do on the coaching side of things of my business, I've been business coaching for many years and come from this entrepreneurial background, number of generations. But one of the things I do is create these 5-year strategic vision plans with folks that help them kind of connect their future with where you are now. Because as the name of my business suggests, you know, starting something is usually the most difficult part. You know, once you get the wheels in motion and you can get momentum going, then certain things tend to take over. But, you know, stepping off and really getting going is where I think the most folks have the most challenges in making powerful choices and getting going. So in my own 5 years.
Oh, and there's tons of fear in there too.
Oh, God. Fear is what we deal with all the time. That's why, you know, on my background, as well as being a coach, I'm a therapist. So that comes into play a lot. You know, we have to deal with our internal landscape so often, constantly, pretty much. But Costa Rica had been on my horizon for a while, and we'd been wanting to live lighter. Wanting to, you know, not be so focused on stuff. I've always rather have things done for me than have stuff. So long story short, we decided to sell our home, sold most of our stuff. My husband and I both moved into situations where we were able to work remotely, and we moved to Costa Rica. And we had never been there before, by the way, but I had contacts there from having organized retreats and stuff for other companies by that time.
Interesting.
So that's what ended up happening. Yeah. So that we caught that bug and never left.
Don't describe it like a bug. It's not something you catch. It's something you,
I don't mind
you
bugs.
Embody. Yeah. All right. You like bugs. Okay. So, why do you believe that creativity, and you are a very creative person, but why do you believe creativity has such an important place in business?
I think it's absolutely crucial to business because most of us who are entrepreneurs, and the folks I work with tend to be solo entrepreneurs or have small businesses of under 10 people. And the engine of those businesses is the owner. Is the person who started it and founded it. And what keeps so many of us going is, you know, if we create a business from sheer panic, it's not the same as creating a business from a place of, you know, this deep desire to create something and have something of your own or even maybe leave a legacy. And certainly, you know, one of the major points is, of course, to make a living doing it and live well. But so many of the folks I work with, money is not their primary motivation, secondary to this deep desire to create. And when that creative spark gets dimmed or we feel like it's diminished, then everything else gets diminished with it and becomes less effective. So we've got to keep that creative spark burning.
Awesome. And, you know, everybody has that. You know, even... You know, I'm going on 14 years in my business, and there are still mornings when I roll out of bed and I go, really? And and there's mornings where I roll out of bed and I go, really? I get to do this? And
yeah.
So, you know, it's both ends of the spectrum. But
totally.
So what we're here to talk about is you have, like, really changed your business and changed a lot of your clients' businesses around audio. And that there is an audio revolution happening right now. And, you know, here we are on Blog Talk Radio talking about an audio revolution. So let's talk about some trends.
There's definitely several trends that have been occurring. And most of them, you know, we say they're trends now, but they've been many years in the making, because trends start out with a lot of early adopters and it's just this tiny little trickle, and then it turns into this wave. And it's usually, we're well into a trend by the time most of the average public hears about it. So the audio trends that I tend to specialize in, which are audiobooks and podcasting, are not new by any means, but they have experienced, in the case of audiobooks, an incredible renaissance, and in the case of podcasting, just this rising wave of popularity that just grows year after year after year. And it really has coincided with our desire to stay in the know and be entertained and find out information, and we're very much on the go, and also having accessibility to those aspects, because audio is something we're inherently familiar with. It's spans age groups, it spans cultures, it spans everything, and it is the most, by far, accessible form of media. You can listen to audio when you can't be reading something. You can listen to audio when you can't be watching something. It is, you know, ubiquitous. It's something you can access from everywhere. So now, because we constantly have many, many, many gigs of information in our pockets with our phones, we have the ability to access unlimited amounts of information in general, but particularly through audio.
So give our listeners like a really specific trend that you've seen that popped up that you're like, wow, where did that come from?
Well, I'll throw you a few numbers at it. And specifically with audiobooks, I came across the audiobook trend going on about 4 years ago now, when I was doing some voice acting training. So I love anything. Anyone who knows me will tell you I love anything involving a microphone. You know, you get me at a conference and I'll organize what I call transformational karaoke. You know, I'm anything involving a microphone, I'm really happy about. So I had been doing some voice acting as kind of a paid hobby, and was taking some master classes in audiobook narration. And what I learned through the process was two things. One was that it's an incredibly detailed niche, and I grew in my respect enormously for folks who narrate audiobooks. And the second thing that I learned was that there was a huge gap between authors and audiobooks, in that authors really didn't understand how to get their audiobooks produced, or what an opportunity it was. And I kind of kept my eye on that trend, and I was, you know, doing other things with my business and, of course, moving to Costa Rica and all of that. But about a year ago, I decided, given the rise in numbers, it was time to really start being of higher service to the authors who are out there, so many of whom are my colleagues. So I launched our audiobook publishing services almost a year ago now, and it's taken over an enormous part of my business, because it's such a huge asset to authors, and the audiobook industry has exploded. It's growing 3 times faster than any other part of the publishing industry, and it has been 20% or higher growth for the last 4 years running. So it just continues to grow and grow and grow.
Holy guacamole. So
yeah, it's huge.
Give our listeners an idea of the gap, or like what don't authors know about the difference between, you know, just sitting down and reading a book and the audiobook, and if they're reading their own book. Like where's that gap?
Oh, in terms of skill set? Yeah. And this is something I go into a lot of detail a lot when I sit down with authors and strategize about their book, because most of them, or a lot of them, are speakers, or they're coaches, or they're, you know, maybe they've been on even some large stages. But the thing with voicing an audiobook is that unless you're prepared to rent studio time, and you're prepared to work with a sound engineer, and with a professional editor who's going to master it for you, it's which is all of which an enormous expense, it's going to cost you far more in money, and it's going to cost you way more in time to do it yourself than it is to work with a professional narrator, because, and it sounds counterintuitive, but it costs, it takes a professional anywhere from 4 to 6 hours of production time to produce one finished edited hour of audio. So imagine how long it takes for somebody who is not a professional to do that. So even down to the breathing techniques and the flow, and how do you sound like you're not actually reading the book? How do you characterize people inside of your book? And all, what are all the rules around submitting audio files to someplace like Audible? You know, it's very, you can do it, but it's definitely a tremendous learning curve. So it's really got to be an educated choice for an author to know, do they want to voice it themselves? Do they want to work with a professional narrator? And then do if they want to do it them, you know, self-produce, if they have that available to them, we can talk about that. Or do they want to work with an audio publisher that's going to take care of it for them?
Wow. I just learned a big chunk just right there.
I know, right?
And you're just saying, hey, think about these things. I'm like, holy moly. Okay, so let's say you're an author, but maybe you don't like the sound of your voice, or mm-hmm. you're not so confident about speaking, or if you're like me, like you have a very slight lisp, and you hear it when I say lisp. So what do you do in those situations?
Yeah, voices are so important, and your voice doesn't have to be perfect. Every voice is really, really unique. So, you know, when I'm working with folks specifically on this particular topic, usually we're approaching the voice in twofold. We're approaching it much like you would train any part of your body, because the voice is, you know, it's all muscles and folds and air, and just learning about that. And practicing your speaking. A lot of folks don't really know how to breathe when they speak, or, you know, that sense of insecurity about how you speak might be affecting the actual tone of your voice. There's lots of different ways to change your voice without changing your voice. You know, I wrote an article for Forbes on Do You Sound Like a Leader? And in the research we did behind that article, we found that there are just tons and tons of factors involved with how people perceive us and how our voices are perceived that have nothing to do with the tone or the sound quality or even the pitch of our voice. How quickly we speak, how often we use ums and ahs, how attentive we are and our attitude behind our speaking all play into how we are perceived, and it has very little to do with the tone of your voice. And by the way, I think I've always thought that your slight lisp is charming, and adds
nice
to the uniqueness to your voice. Yeah, because you have a lot of musicality to your voice, and that's one of the things that people don't tend to let loose. They're afraid they're going to be perceived one way or another, so they tend to flatten out their voice a little bit so that they sound a little more professional, and then they get really kind of monotone about it, and then we just want to shut them off. Right?
It's mostly because I sing to my cat.
It's excellent practice. Singing into the cat, singing in the shower, singing in the car, all excellent practice as far as I'm concerned.
So you've talked about the tone of your voice, but let's talk about equipment. So is mm-hmm. there equipment that you can use to get great audio?
Yes, and great audio doesn't really have to cost a ton of money. I've been asked by groups in the past here in Florida, the Florida Podcasters Association and such, to actually bring what I call my super ghetto portable sound booth with me. And this is something I learned quite a while ago when I was doing work in Costa Rica and had limited resources in terms of what was just available to me for sale there. And quite honestly, I'm not a big fan of spending hundreds or even thousands of dollars on equipment unless it's absolutely necessary. So what I do is the biggest challenge most folks have is being in a room that has what we call room noise or echo. The sound bounces off the walls or it bounces off the windows, and it makes you sound like you're in a cavern. So in order to alleviate that, what you do is you basically take a big plastic storage box, like the kind you'd use for moving or storage, like your company would use, And you line it, just line it with an inexpensive piece of egg crate foam that you could buy at Walmart or Target. And those act, that foam acts as acoustic tile. And then you just set your microphone inside of that little box and set that box in front of you, in front of your mouth, and it blocks all of the sound. Your body creates a fourth wall that creates a little contained booth, and then you can do your recording standing right in front of that microphone.
So are you doing that right now?
I'm not doing that right now. I have a different setup for I like to move around a lot, so I actually have a cordless mic, cordless headset mic that I use specifically for when I'm being interviewed on shows. So,
okay.
But that's another tip. Yep.
So we've only got time for a couple more questions. So, what should someone ask themselves when they're jumping into starting their own show or a podcast, a blog talk radio, or even something more substantial?
Yeah, that's a big decision, because podcasting and starting your own show is a big commitment. And most people think of shows as something that they're going to have to decide on, something that they're going to do forever. So I would recommend that if you're going to dip a toe in the water of podcasting, first of all, make sure you've been on other people's shows. That would be ideal for you to be a guest on somebody else's show. The second thing
I agree. I'm just going to jump in here because there's a lot of crummy guests. And I mean, speaking from my own experience, like people who don't show up on time or people who completely miss the interview and you're like, oh, great, I've got dead air now. Or, you know, this is not making me look great to my audience. I'm sure you've had that happen. So be a good guest before you start your own thing.
Yeah, be a good guest is great. That was one of the reasons that my first show that I did, I pre-recorded. So that was something that is a super hazard of a live show, to have dead air, which is why my first show I wasn't quite willing to take that risk. And I appreciate you having the moxie to launch a live show, because it definitely takes something, and it takes some trust to make sure that those guests are going to show up. But in terms of starting a show, there's a technical back end to starting a podcast, to making sure that your show gets out to the big platforms like iTunes and Stitcher and iHeartRadio. And then there's the strategy that goes with it, and making sure that the type of show that you're creating isn't just cookie cutter. It is going to be unique to you. And a show can be a series. It could be like a mini series. You can do 8 or 10 sessions on a show as a pilot. See how it's received before you jump into something that you think is going to be your forever show, as it were. And there's some really big names who've done things like this, like Lena Dunham and Elizabeth Gilbert, where they've piloted shows and done a season and to assess whether they wanted to continue doing that. And when you're clear on that in the beginning, there's no threat to your credibility, because you're clear about what you're doing.
Oh, that's so smart. So is there parts of audio that we should outsource, or should everything be in our own voice?
In the case of audiobooks, I recommend that it's a perfect project to outsource, simply because the learning curve to get it done, if you're not familiar with the audiobook industry, with audiobook production, with voice actors as a tribe and as an industry, it is a wonderful thing to outsource, because you've already put in all the work on the book. So my authors tend to come to me either to revive an old title with audio, and they get to relaunch it in a new format that brings it back to life and brings them a lot of new people, or they create their audiobook as part of their launch for a new book that they're bringing out, and it allows them to create an additional income stream for their book. And let me to say, in 2015, 1.5 million more audiobooks were downloaded than ebooks. That includes free ebooks.
Wow.
So, and audiobooks are almost pretty much never free. Yeah.
So do you have authors that only launch audio and never launch an actual paper copy?
Time, in order to get up on Audible, Amazon, and iTunes, all which have a common back end, you actually have to have the book launched on Amazon first, and then you create the audio version.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
So in all the work that you've done with clients in more than 20 different industries, have you found any commonalities in what holds people back or common challenges?
It really comes down to what you said early on in our call today, Sharon, which is fear. It's usually that fear of making a wrong decision and not being able to recover from it, or fear of making an investment and feeling like, well, if I just take it in little tiny bites and I bootstrap it all the way and I keep it as cheap as possible, then if I fail, it won't be as big of a deal. And all of those bits and pieces really slow down the chances of somebody being successful, and also slow down the expression of that genius that is inside of that person. So,
well,
that's
my team will tell you that I make mistakes every day.
Oh, every single day. It's not a matter of when; it's a matter of how many. Yeah, that's what we do.
Absolutely. It is what we do. It is, and real leaders get up after they've made a mistake. They've skinned their knees and they say, all right, what did I learn from that? And how will that never happen again? And move on.
Exactly. Or sometimes it's, well, that sucked, but it wasn't as bad as I thought. Next.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
So, all right, Tina, we are down to it. So what is the one thing, if somebody is going to launch, you said, you know, if somebody's going to get out there and they're going to decide to launch a podcast, or if they've got a book and they've got they want to do an audio book, what's the one thing that you would say, make sure you do this?
Make sure you do your homework. Make sure you know your options for what you're dealing with, and talk to other people who are doing it. Of course, you know, in the realm of blatant self-bragging, I would love for folks to come and talk with me, because I want to make sure that people get good information and get set on the right path, whether or not we end up working together in the future or not. It's all about making sure that people are served best. But do your homework, whether that is getting involved in Facebook groups, like Podcasters Hangout or She Podcasts, both of which are great groups to get involved in, or it's a matter of taking a look at do-it-yourself audiobook websites like acx.com and getting a lay of the land, or go ahead and shoot me an email at Tina at the startsomethingcreativebizsolutions.com. And if you're a published author about to publish a book and you got questions, let me know.
Okay. So Tina has given us an enormous amount of information, and I just want to remind you, you can find her at startsomethingcreativebizsolutions.com. That's her website. Or you can find her on LinkedIn at Tina Dietz. Just type in her name. Or you can find her on Facebook, The Start Something Movement, on Twitter at The Superstarter. And or you can just, like, put her name in Google, and it will come up all over the freaking place. It's
Woo-hoo.
Tina, Dietz. And, Tina, I just want to thank you so much for being on the show this week. It's been great
having
you.
Oh, my pleasure, Sharon. It's always great. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. So this has been another episode of Get Ready with Betty, the radio show that helps you simplify your life by clearing the confusion. Thank you again to Tina Dietz and all the listeners that joined us today. And we will be back on October 3rd with Don Adiska, who is launching the Betty Brigade Handyman Division. And he will be talking about tips to get your room or to get your home ready for fall. So until that time, keep it simple.